I think I hear something now. The crowd is moving out into the parking area. And, oh yes, I can see it now. It's a helicopter. And it's coming this way.
A helicopter?
It's flying something behind it. I can't quite make it out. It's a large banner. And it says, Happy Thanksgiving. From W. Sight, ladies and gentlemen, what a sight. The copter seems to be circling the parking area now. I guess it's looking for a place to land. No, something just came out of the back of the helicopter. It's a dark object. Perhaps a skydiver plummeting to the earth from only 2,000 feet into the air. The third. There's no parachutes yet.
Skydivers. I can't tell just yet what they are, but... Oh, my God, they're talking! Oh, Johnny, can you get this? Oh, they're crashing to the earth right in front of our eyes! One just went through the windshield of a parked car! Johnny, this is terrible.
The car is running around pushing each other. Oh, my goodness! Oh, the humanity! Oh, people are running about. The turkeys are hitting the ground like sacks of wet cement. I don't know how much longer the crowd is running for their lives. I think I'm going to step inside. I can't stay out here and watch this any longer. No, I can't go in there.
Children are searching for their mothers, and oh, not since the Hindenburg tragedy has there been anything like this. I don't know how much longer I can hold my position here, Johnny. The crowd...
Les, are you there? Les isn't there. Thanks for that on-the-spot report, Les. For those of you who just tuned in, the Pinedale Shopping Mall has just been bombed with live turkeys. Film at 11.
No, look, Mr. Mayor, yes, there was some damage, sir, but no one was hurt.
Mr. Colley, we know what the Humane Society stands for.
The National Guard? No, sir, the National Guard, I don't think it's that serious.
Well, Mr. Colley, a lot of turkeys don't make it through Thanksgiving.
Yes, yes, sir. Yes, sir, thank you very much.
Yes, goodbye. That was the Humane Society. They sounded pretty upset.
Oh, Andy, why did you let Mr. Carlson do this?
Because it's Mr. Carlson's station.
This man must be stopped before he promotes again.
Now, listen. Mr. Carlson was here at WKRP when we were just kids. And I bet you he's going to be here long after we're all moved on.
Yeah, but Andy, look.
Now, Venus, if we cut him out, what's the point? Look, we're the young ones. And sometimes I think we're just a little bit too concerned about being number one. Now, Mr. Carlson, he just Mr. Carlson. He just wants to be a part of things.
Should have worked.
Carlson, can I help you?
No, I'm fine.
Hey, Mr. Carlson. What's it like to ride in a helicopter?
A lot of fun.
Mr. Carlson, could I get you a cup of coffee?
What? No, thank you, Jennifer. We agreed?
Huh? Sir? It was the most unusual promotion idea I ever heard of. Never been anything else like it.
No, I don't suppose there has.
Tony Loves Food, 590 The Fan, and just, I mean, what a classic moment. Bombed by turkeys. WKRP, we're sharing moments from just one of the best Thanksgiving sitcom episodes ever. And the mall has just been bombed by turkeys. So we're talking getting ready for Turkey Day. It's the Saturday before Thanksgiving. And we have Chef Chris Van Norman, one of my best friends, joining me again, or me joining him again in your house. Thank you again for having us here. And so we talked about, you know, the prep of the day and just the chaos of the day and how to be ready for the day. And then one of the you got to finish that meal with some dessert. And so I think the showpiece if you will, of the thing you always think about with Thanksgiving desserts is pies. And, you know, I love making pies. And it was actually Thanksgiving, I believe, when years ago I became a pie lover. Because, I don't know, pie, I loved sweets and was always eating sweets and desserts and stuff as a kid. But pies, I don't know. I wasn't a kid that went for pie. Did you, I mean, I know you like pie. Did you always like pie?
Nah, we were, let's see, ice cream, chocolates, things like that, you know, yeah. Little Debbie's pastries, all that, not really pies, you know.
Little Debbie's brownies in your lunch bag. I loved those. But yeah, I think, you know, yeah, the more basic, if you will, desserts, you know.
Donuts, that was good too, yeah, the donuts were big.
And so you mentioned ice cream. So it was, I think it was probably because of ice cream and apple pie that, you know, when I tried this guy, oh yeah, you know what? Hey, let's try some of this pie and I'll put some of this ice cream. Oh my gosh. And I was like, where have I been? And so pies, I love making pies. I love eating pies. So it can be intimidating to people to make a pie and make your own crust. It's always people are like, oh, did you make your own crust and stuff? So it, you know, it's like any of this stuff. Once you try it, once you kind of learn a method to doing it and working with whatever dough you're going to use, you know, so it was some general tips to making a pie crust.
Let's see. Keep it simple. Oh my God, I'm going to try to remember this. Wow. 3-2-1, basically. I mean, that's what we try to teach our students. 3 parts flour, 2 parts fat, 1 part ice water.
And ice water because you want to keep that fat cold.
Yeah, again, I'll preface it again without trying to get too scientific, but the fat is what makes it, gives it the flavor, it gives it the rise, the any kind of air, you know, aeration in there. The crisp layers, all that good stuff. That's the fat working in there. So if you overwork it, you melt it away, and it gets. That's why they say, leave your pie dough. Don't overwork it. Don't get the butter too small, because the bigger the piece of butter, what's going to happen is, or lard, we can say that too. You know, it cooks the liquid. The fat starts to melt. The liquid in there creates steam once it, you know, goes above 212 degrees, and it gives that air pocket. And it gives a separate layer there to make it crisp. So those big chunks are actually good, and you can have different size chunks. So, you know, don't overwork it.
Yeah, and so one of my favorite cookbooks is the Pie and Pastry Bible. And when I first started making pie crust out of there, she had this method of, you know, cutting your fat. So, like, if you're using butter, like, cutting it into, you know, like, quarter-inch-sized chips. She would have, like, quarter-inch-sized chips or something like that, I think. Maybe not exact. But you would cut it into these pieces, put it in a Ziploc bag, put it in the freezer for, like, 15, 20 minutes or so. You don't want to get it totally frozen, but get it, like, really, really firm. And then to also, like, take your flour that you're using and even put that in the freezer and just get it, like, really cold. And then the whole thing with doing mixing it in a bag and stuff, and so it helped keep it off your hands, and your hands didn't warm it up as much and everything, but it really kept it, you know, those flakes. And I thought it was so tedious at first, but once I kind of did it a few times,
it pays off in the end.
And that was the thing. And that's Rose Levy Barenbaum, I believe, if I'm remembering correctly, the author. Great cookbooks, the Pie and Pastry Bible, the Cake Bible, the Bread Bible, have all three of those, and she's got others and stuff too. But it's keeping that fat in, like you said, in flakes, not overworking. And we mentioned butter, lard. What can you expect? What are the differences of just like how the dough acts and what, I mean, does one make the other crispier or more tender? Or
yeah, that's the thing. So what, we say fat, and that's a general term to us. So like I said, 3-2-1, 3 parts flour, 2 parts fat, 1 part ice water. The fat is, could be lard, butter, God forbid, margarine, I suppose, or Crisco, things like that. They just react differently. You know, an animal fat like lard will give you that. It's going to give you the most flavor, and it's going to give you more crispness because there's actually a little bit less liquid in there, and that animal fat can heat up to a little bit higher temperature, and it's going to get that really crisp in there. Butter's fine if you have that, though. It's little subtle differences.
And so I know in one of the cookbook, the Pie and Pastry Bible, she mentioned leaf lard and the idea of getting it like it's the most prized lard for bakers. Yeah, and so, doing pig buys and stuff like that with Max Local Buys, I had the opportunity to get some of that stuff. And you can, you know, even go into a good butcher shop and say, hey, do you have leaf lard, you know? And so it's the big hunks of fat that, like you said, like around the kidneys and other organs there in the midsection, right?
Yeah. There's different types of fat. It may sound strange, but I don't know. Think about it the next time you're eating like a steak or something, different cuts, you'll think, well, wait a minute, that fat's a little more firm, a little more, like leaf lard is, again, it's got the least amount of liquid in it, so we call it crumbly, actually. So it's actually, it looks crumbly. Some fat is smooth, you know, things like that. So there are actually different types of animal fat, too, even on one animal, like, you know, the pig or, you know, so.
Yeah, and so it's prized because of, its purity and then the consistency of it and that you can render it very well. And so you take it, you get, you know, any kind of like membrane and things like that off of it and stuff. And then you can put it through a meat grinder, you know, that's a good way to do it. Or you can take the time to just, you know, chop it up finely, you know, as fine as you can with knives and stuff. Put it in a pot. And then keep it nice and low, and you render it all, and you melt it, and then you take it and you strain it through like some cheesecloth or a real fine strainer or whatever into a jar. And that, how long, you know, when you render it, how long can you keep? I feel like I've had some in my fridge for a couple of years, and I kept it nice in jars, and it's still great.
It's, well, I still have that jar you gave me. How long ago was that? Here's my scientific answer. It keeps until it's bad.
Yeah, and that's what you always say, because I'll call Chris a lot of times when I have questions. I'll call him, hey, I'm cooking right now, and blah, blah, blah.
But that's a simple answer. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, it's real simple. Keep it till it goes bad. Now, what does that mean? Fats, we say that certain foods, how do they decay? Well, you know, meats decompose, vegetables rot, things like that. So we say fats go rancid. Now, all that means is open it up, smell it.
Yeah.
If it doesn't smell right, get rid of it.
Well, and that's like so many things with food. But you told me one time, like, oh, if your oil, your fat's bad, you're going to know it.
You are going to know it, yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's the thing. Fats are strange. They keep for a long time. There's that... You think about it, and there's that burger joint, and I'm not going to be able to remember where it is, but they deep fry their burgers, and they say that they have remnants of the fat that they started with, I don't know, and I'm picking a number, but it's ridiculous, like 95 years ago, and you think, 95-year-old fat? Well, keeps heating up each day, they put it in the fridge, blah, 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 they put new fat in, but it's said that there are traces of that fat from about 95 years ago, so if you treat it properly... It keeps until it goes bad. That's all I can say.
That's awesome. That means that you could, you know, that gives me hope that you can use that jar, you know, when you finally get around to it in like 90 years. So we're talking again with Chef Chris Van Norman about getting yourself ready for Thanksgiving. And, you know, we're talking pies and pastries here. We've been talking butter versus lard and the differences and how that acts. And so the lard and the butter, I find too, like the way the crust, how you can, I feel like you can handle the lard crust better at room temperature for a little bit longer periods of time. Cause that's one of the things too, when you're working with it, you don't want to keep it out and work with it too much when you're rolling it. Cause when it gets tough, but then you overwork the fats too. And it starts to really get too, it can be cumbersome to deal with, and you don't want to add too much flour. Cause then that's defeating the purpose of making it tender and stuff too. So what is it about the lard that like makes it, lard also won't like liquefy at room temperature. So I'm guessing that's part of the reason why it does that with, you know, with the crust.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Well, again, when we teach about fats, we say, you know, what is its natural state? How does it sit at room temperature? Goes through, you know, melt point, smoke point, and then flash point. That just means what temperature is going to melt, Then fats start to break down. You always hear when you're sauteing something, look for that little waft of smoke, and you know your fat's hot enough. And then what is flash point? Well, you know what? Lipoproteins are combustible, so yeah. They will...
That one's fairly self-explanatory.
Yeah, they will light on fire. So it's different. Animal proteins like leaf lard has a higher melt point, smoke point, blah, blah, blah. So it's just different. It's a little bit easier to work with, you know.
So pies, you know, they're the favorites, you know, the standards, the pumpkins, the sweet potato, you know, your various fruit, apple pies and stuff. But we hear mincemeat pie. What's mincemeat pie? And would that be a good Thanksgiving type of pie?
Yes and no. I mean, what is mincemeat? Yeah, it's a thing. It's one of those things. There's all kinds of fascinating things in the culinary world, like with mincemeat pie. And even myself, a seasoned veteran chef, what is mincemeat? Well, what is it? Even at the club, I was like, we had canned mincemeat. I'm like, well, what meat is in there? What is it? It's just dried fruits, you know, and usually a syrup. It's one of those preservation things.
It's fruit?
Yeah, basically. You got to think about this is, if we go back to the beginning when we started talking about pies, this is why they're great. I mean, the pies are around for a reason. You have the harvest. How are you going to preserve that fruit? Can it, jar it, do whatever, make pies also. So they really got into making pies. Mincemeat is, you know, it's basically dried mixed fruits. Those wacky English came up with mincemeat for the most part, and it's one of those things. Do you like fruitcake? Do you like mincemeat pie? There's certain things that I don't like, but
I think fruitcake gets a bad rap. I mean, we could do a whole thing about that. But, I mean, I think if you put some good fruit in there, you make a good cake. It's fruity. It's cake. It's sweet. It's good. I mean.
Cake. What's that Carlin thing? Meat cake.
So we're talking again with Chef Chris Van Norman about getting ready for Thanksgiving and playing some clips from hilarious episode of WKRP. The mall has been bombed by turkeys, and Les Nessman is just awesome, and we see the after effects of that. So come back after this. Tony Loves Food Show, 590 The Fan.
Les, are you okay?
I don't know. A man and his two children tried to kill me. After the turkeys hit the pavement, the crowd kind of scattered, but some of them tried to attack me. I had to jam myself into a phone booth. Then Mr. Carlson had the helicopter land in the middle of the parking lot. I guess he thought he could save the day by turning the rest of the turkeys loose. Gets pretty strange after that.
Now it gets strange.
Yeah, right.
No, Les, come on now, tell us the rest.
I really don't know how to describe it. It was like the turkeys mounted a counterattack. It was almost as if they were organized.